Philadelphia, are you ready?
No, he said, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
We're back again with another week of Wrestle Talk, and for your listening ears and your minds that have been boggled before by our rampant knowledge of wrestling, today we bring you an interview with the Ovaltine Dream, Thomas Santel. And you're really going to enjoy it because it's an interview that we're bringing to you, and we only bring hot fire.
Yeah, very true. I think everyone's going to be pleasantly surprised listening to Thomas talk and hearing his background. And personally, I didn't realize how long he's been in the business and how much he's done already. So we hope you enjoy the interview as much as we did anyway. And
We hope you enjoy it more.
That too. Yeah, that's even better.
Enjoy it more than we did it. We're not going to tell you how much more we did enjoy it. So just love it so much that we can't even think to imagine how much you love it. That's the thought I thought you thought I had you thought.
All right, let's get Thomas on.
Listener land, joining us today is the Ovaltine Dream, Thomas Santel. Thomas, thank you for coming on with us today.
Thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure.
Awesome, awesome. Now, we just want to get a general background of you for our first question, pretty much how you got into the wrestling business. Like, were you a fan when you grew up?
Yeah, I was a fan I was 8 years old, and grew up watching WWF, NWA, and any other wrestling that would come on ESPN or Saturday morning. And that's what I wanted to do. And once I finished college, I went to Killer Kowalski's, and that's how it began.
Now, when you were in college and even in high school, for that matter, do you have a background in amateur wrestling?
Not in college, a little bit in high school, but my high school at the time was almost like backyard amateur wrestling. They weren't very good, so I was pretty much coming into pro wrestling, with a clean slate.
Oh, okay.
I shouldn't say clean slate, but with really not really a whole lot of experience, if any.
Now, when did you first break in?
2001 is when I first started training at Killer Kowalski's, right outside Boston, Mass. January of 2001. First match was in September 15th, 2001.
And where was that at? What promotion?
That was for a promotion in Massachusetts called Powerhouse Wrestling. It was their first show. It was at the Cold Spring Country Club. We were the dark match on a show that was loaded with a lot of ex-WCW talent at the time. Tony Atlas, Jimmy Snuka as well. I think Axe Sergeant Duggan. So for, a brand new kid being out there in the dark match, in a six man, seeing all these guys you were watching on TV growing up, and just a few months ago was a thrill, but it was very intimidating as well.
Yeah, because the eyes are going to be on you for your very first match because of all the big names he had there with you.
Nah, not really. Nobody was watching the match. It was a horrible match. we were there to set up our trainer's ring at the time, and But it was fun. It was the best feeling afterwards. So I knew right then and there that I really wanted to pursue this and get better at it.
Now, when do you think you started to gain momentum in the wrestling business? Has it been more recent than not?
Momentum when? Recently or early on in my career?
Yeah, well, I guess a little bit of both. Like, when do you think like you really started to catch a little fire and started to get over with more crowds?
I mean, early on in my career was when I started working for places like New England Championship Wrestling, Chaotic Wrestling, the better promotions in the Northeast, and then became a regular on all those. Recently, it was through Beyond Wrestling. They afforded me the opportunity to come into the Discovery Gauntlet, and you know, I took the ball and ran with it, and been there ever since.
Now, is that your mainstay right now? Is Beyond Wrestling?
Yeah, that's my whole promotion. But I want to get out, and you know, I want to do all the top indie promotions. That's my goal. That's always been my goal. I was always, despite being in WWE and early on in my career, I always wanted to be. I always loved Ring of Honor and trading indie tapes and back in the day. And, you know, I love the independent scene now, and so that Beyond Wrestling is my home, and they afforded me the opportunity. But I would love to branch out to other places in the country and elsewhere.
So now, when we introduced you, as the Ovaltine Dream. Where did that gimmick come from? Is it something that you created, something that it came from your mind that you like? How did that come about?
It came about when I was just, 2015, at the end of 2015, fans started to chant George McFly at me and yell Back to the Future references because of my hair and resemblance to Crispin Glover. So a little bit later, I decided to finally go with it, with the urging of a friend, and came up with the character and the persona. And then once I got to Beyond, my first night there, I cut a promo decreeing alcohol and beer, because the show was in a bar, and saying that I only drink Ovaltine. And the fans broke out into Ovaltine chants. I went in there as a heel, as a bad guy, and I came out as one of the most popular guys, you know, in the promotion in one night. The Ovaltine Dream came from Rich Palladino, the ring announcer there, and so many other great places. He did a takeoff of the Velveteen Dream and decided to call me the Ovaltine Dream, and it's stuck pretty well.
Now, with a gimmick like that, would you say that it kind of is a part of your personality? Is that just you with the volume all the way up, or is this like a completely new personality for you?
I'm pretty easygoing and goofy, and so I just kind of ramp it up a little in a nerdy way, and it's the most I've ever felt comfortable in 19 years of wrestling, in or out of the ring. And the in-ring part hasn't changed. The martial arts and grappling background and all the years of pro wrestling and the training around the world is kind of melded together to give you what you see when I stepped in the ring. And then rather than just be random guy in tights and boots, his character is comfortable, it's fun, and it's really it's something different and unique that set me apart and that really nobody else is doing.
Now, you mentioned catch wrestling, and that's one of your main styles of wrestling, correct?
I can wrestle any style, but I love to grapple, I love to mat wrestle, incorporate a lot of catch wrestling stuff that I've learned through grappling and jiu-jitsu, through wrestling. and through pro wrestling. I've had the opportunity to train with, you know, train out in All Japan, in their dojo, and worked there for a few years back in the 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Just the martial arts training that I love to do for workouts and just love learning. I just take all that and incorporate it into my pro wrestling. It's all virtually the same. It's all related somehow, but I just like to take unique things that nobody else is doing and put my own twist or flavor on them.
Now, with the rising popularity of like the high-flying culture and the high-flying wrestling, do you think that it's harder to get that style of grappling and catch wrestling over with most crowds?
No, not at all. to me, it stands out. I can't be Will Ospreay or Ricochet or, you know, nobody. Very few can do those things. So it's how much more. There's only so much the human body can do, and we've seen, you know, such great talent and athleticism like never before. Great minds for the stuff that people come up with today is amazing. But, you know, you can watch a Lou Fez match or a Pat O'Connor match or some old World of Sports stuff, and you can see things, amazing things that nobody else is doing, and things that I learned. You know, I'll do things in grappling class or jiu-jitsu class, and I'll take that and say, hey, that's unique. I'm going to use this in, I'm going to try this and use this in a match. And Chikara is another place that has always treated me well, and I have worked for a few times recently within the last month. And myself and Mike Quackenbush had a match on their season 20 finale, or season 19 finale, a couple weeks ago. We worked a knuckle lock for 8 or 9 minutes. We worked in and out of it, and we stayed connected the whole time. And it was something unique and different. And that's what I want, something that stands out, something that's different. And the people afterwards just loved it. The response to it was so great. I want to continue to do more of that, be different, do stuff that stands out. You got to take chances. You got to be bold. It's like, you know, the dive or the super kick is like the new headlock. And that works for some people, but it's not going to work for everybody. And you need to, you know, I try to do the stuff that not too many other people are doing.
So now you talk about wrestling Mike Quackenbush. Is there a preference you have as far as the opponent you're facing, whether you go in there and you face an Orange Cassidy, and both you guys have these gimmicks to where it can be a comedy-style match, or you can go in there and have a classic with Quackenbush? Is there a preference for you, or you just want to go in and put on the show and have fun?
No, I want to get the best performance possible and tell the best story. Wrestling is storytelling. I never go into a match thinking about moves or, you know, I got to get this in or I got to get that in. Yes, there's a time to put things together and place things as a performer, but and as a wrestler. But with Orange Cassidy, I wanted to give the fans something they weren't going to expect. I wanted to be the aggressor. I wanted to. This looks like it's going to be, you know, they're going to do this, and then he's going to put the hands in his pocket, and then all of a sudden I flipped the script and started to get aggressive. People didn't know how to take that, and no, I'm not going to play your game. I'm not going to play your hands in your pockets game, and then eventually if you watch the match, it backfired on me, you know, drinking his orange juice. not my Ovaltine. Storytelling, stuff like that. And then with Quack, it was awesome because we're both on the same, you know, same mindset of, hey, let's do something different, and this is the concept, gonna choreograph anything, or we're not gonna have a memorization game of things for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. We're gonna go out, this is gonna be the concept of the match, and let's play with it and have fun. And it was one of the most fun matches I've ever had in 19 years, and probably 1,500 matches.
Now, you mentioned Shakara and how you've worked with them. Recently, you became a tag team partner with someone that wouldn't typically be a first choice in the fans' eyes, with Nick Gage, and formed NDK, Nerder Death Kill. How did that all come about?
My fourth or fifth show, my match was finishing, and I was coming, I was going out for my match. Nick was coming back from his match because there was a run-in, or he did something, they kept him out there longer after his match, and we just had a brief stare, and, as we passed each other, and the next day, and that night, right at that instant, people on Twitter went crazy, like, hey, this is something we never thought we wanted to see, but now we do. So we just took it from there, and then we had the storyline that led to us teaming for American Rana, and it's perfect. We're the perfect complement for each other. We're experienced. I think combined we have almost 40 years of wrestling experience. He's everywhere, and we're both in 20 years, into this business, and we're better than ever, and we're more popular than ever, and it's a perfect, he's a great guy, he's a great person. Getting to know him, through teaming with him, it's a perfect odd couple, and it works, and I love teaming with him, and I would love to take it other places, because I think when you get to know each of us separately, and then you put us together, it works. It's one of those things that just works.
Now, what are some of the things that you're picking up from Nick Gage that, or you're learning from him while you're teaming together?
Aggression. My character is getting, as you saw in the Orange Cassidy match or the Wheeler Yuta match, it's getting a little more, when things don't go his way, it's getting a little more of a mean streak. More brawling. Yeah, I want to keep it in the ring and on the mat, submit you or pin you. But if I have to brawl, we can do that. I got 9 years of Muay Thai experience, a boxing experience, where I can back that up with. So, whether it's on the mat or whether we got to throw a fist, he's encouraged that.
So you said that how happy you were with being with Beyond and them giving you the opportunity, but you did say that you wanted to get out to other promotions. Is there any of the promotions that maybe are tops on your list, like the one or two that you really want to be able to perform in?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's, top independent promotion would be PWG, and that would be first and foremost. I'm a huge fan of PWG. Who isn't? It's a bunch of the most talented workers in the world going out there and wanting to steal the show and one-up each other. Game Changer Wrestling. I would love to get a chance to work there. AAW out in Chicago. AIW. Black Label Pro, there's one in Chicago, it's a Sheet Style Wrestling. They're bringing in Minoru Suzuki versus Tom Lawler, doing Sheet Style, stuff like that. Bloodsport, I want to do Bloodsport because it's my style, and it would fit me perfectly. and you would see a different Thomas Sandow in Bloodsport. You know, the same, but a little bit different. So, I mean, those are the first ones that come to mind that are on my bucket list.
Now, playing off of that, do you have any opponents that you haven't been in the ring with that are on kind of your bucket list as well?
Yeah, I mean, there's you know, Timothy Thatcher comes to mind. You know, I'm going to get the chance this Thursday at Beyond Thanksgiving Night Survivor Series match. There's the independent wrestling champion Warhorse that I'm going to be able to get in the ring with for the first time. The one called Manders, Steve Manders, former Iowa running back and buddy of George Kittle of my San Francisco 49ers. A Drew Gulak, you know, I know Drew. I knew him back when we were both doing Chikara back in, you know, 7-8 years ago, and never had the opportunity to wrestle. I'd love to get in there with Biff Busick again. I don't know what's up with Biff or Oney Lorcan, but if he does find his way back, we've certainly been in the ring together a few times before, and I'd love to do it again. Guys on the indies now, I mean, there's a ton of them. Anthony Green, J.D. Drake, Anthony Henry, a lot of guys. There's so much talent out there, you know, that I think, you know, styles make matchups. So whether it's someone like Timothy Thatcher, whether it's somebody like, you know, like a Jake Atlas, you know, I welcome it all. It's about telling a story, and that's what I like to do.
Now, would you say that right now would be the best time to get into pro wrestling, either whether it be into the business or become a fan?
Yeah, it's a great time. I mean, especially if you're getting into the business now, I mean, there's, whether you're a female, whether you're, you know, 6'5", or whether you're 5'5", there's a place for anyone. There's, you know, but it's also, you know, wrestling is serious stuff. You're putting your life on the line. You've got somebody else's hands, life in your hands. And, you know, first and foremost is safety to yourself and to your opponent. And it's learning to work safe, learning to fall and to bump properly. And, you know, this isn't something that happens overnight. There's a lot of wrestlers out there. There's a lot of promotions out there. But like anything else, this takes thousands thousands of hours of repetition to get good and to get proficient at it. And I, you know, the fact is I never, at anything, I never want to stop learning. I never want to stop evolving. And it's there. It's there for the taking if you want it. Just got to be different, stand out, and just, you know, get out there and promote yourself and do the hustle. Be like a guy like Manders who's got 5 shows this week, you know, from Atlanta to Philadelphia. He's out there busting his ass. That's what you got to do. If you want it bad enough, you'll do it.
Awesome. Well, Thomas, we want to thank you again for coming on with us. And before we let you go, if you want to promote yourself on any social media, let us know about any shows you got coming up.
On social media, at Retro Grappler on Twitter. I have Instagram. I don't go there too much. I prefer Twitter. You know, but on Instagram is at Retro Grappler as well. Pro Wrestling Tees. You can find an assortment of tees there at prowrestlingtees.com/PromiseThomas. And coming up this Thursday night, Thanksgiving Night Wrestling returns for those fans of Starrcade or Survivor Series back in the day, Beyond Wrestling, live on Independent Wrestling .tv, IWTV.live. You can see myself, Nick Gage, NDK, teaming with Chris Statlander and Bear Country, taking on Matthew Justice, the one called Manders, Independent Wrestling Champion, War Horse, and Dominic Guarini and Kevin Koo, known as Violence is Forever. You can see that, Survivor Series style, 5-on-5 this Thursday. Watch it, you know. It's been a while since wrestling has been on a Thanksgiving night, and Beyond is doing something different and unique, and let's get those eyes on it. And if you don't have a Independent Wrestling TV subscription, go to IWTV.live and use promo code Ovaltine and get a free 20-day trial where you can stream that live and check out all the other great stuff that they have on their platform.
Awesome. Couldn't have said it better myself. Again, thank you, Thomas.
Thank you guys very much.
Thanks a lot. Have a great night.
Thank you guys. Let me know when this is up, and I will definitely promote it. You guys were awesome. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you. We appreciate you.
Okay. Take care. Have a good night.
You too. Bye. And there you have it, folks. Our interview with Thomas Santel, the Ovaltine Dream. What a crazy, I mean, it's such a good gimmick.
I love the gimmick.
Absolutely. It really is. And he's right in saying that it's different than what you see. And I feel like that, yes, catch wrestling is and always will be like the technical masterpiece of professional wrestling. But I feel that it has died off a little bit, and it's now resurrecting a little bit, because you can't just have high flying in every you can't have crazy high spots in every single match. You need technical catch wrestling, and even a little martial arts is cool thrown in there time to time as well. I feel like the only way to bring it back, though, permanently, is to attach it to a really, really good character. I think that that has helped bringing it back itself. When you attach not just this great technical catch wrestling style, but you attach it to someone that has an interesting character as well, I feel like that helps elevate it that much more. And it really gives you a different appreciation for it.
Well, not only that, and it's the same reason that every time we talk to Rory or we talk about AEW, and we say that AEW needs a guy like a Rory Gulak, because they don't have that
No.
type of style, that catch style in AEW. And don't get me wrong, that doesn't make
it from being very, very popular.
No.
It just hinders it with one less style of wrestling that it doesn't have.
Exactly. It doesn't just need one guy. It needs at least three or four like that.
I mean, not to get overly in depth about AEW, but their roster is short.
Yes.
Not short height wise, but short in depth.
Yeah, of course.
So picking up people with that style, I mean, WWE has some of the best in the business at catch wrestling, but there are still so many more out there. Like Thomas was saying, Timothy Thatcher, like you just mentioned, Rory Gulak, and Quackenbush. Look, but Quackenbush,
yeah, goes without saying, of course.
Goes without saying, and I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, Zack Sabre Jr., who's over in New Japan, styles like that. I mean, Jonathan Gresham, who knows how long Ring of Honor will be above water. So maybe Jonathan Gresham becomes a free agent, and I could see him fitting in really well with an AEW roster.
Yeah, but I mean, and with his gimmick, it's one of those things when I saw it for the first time, and like he said, it brought me to right to Back to the Future, and I'm a huge Back to the Future fan.
Yes, you are. So, you are a mark for Back to the Future.
Absolutely. So he hooked me immediately.
Larry's Marky McFly.
Yeah, sure. But and then I watch his style, especially the Orange Cassidy and him match. I completely agree with what he said. I thought it was going to go a certain way. He came in very vicious and completely spun the match in a way I wasn't expecting. And I was pleasantly surprised. It was fun to watch. And but, I mean, all his matches, he does try to do things different and evolve his character.
With his character, he's able to, and what he was saying also is, wrestling is very story driven. Yes. And with his character and who you put him in the ring with, he's able to play off of it. Because if you put him in the ring with like a Josh Briggs, a big brawler type, he can kind of play that sneaky, nerdy character who can go behind, like he uses backhanded maneuvers and whatnot if he wants to play the heel route. Having such a unique character gives you that much more value in a match variety.
Yeah. So we hope you enjoyed the interview with Thomas. And like he said, if you haven't watched it, if you don't have a subscription to Beyond or to IWTV, go on. Got a promo code, Ovaltine. Get your free trial. Believe me, once you have your free trial, you're going to want to subscribe. Because, I mean, just for the Thursday nights alone is worth the price.
And the library speaks for itself. There's so many different promotions in there. It's easy to get caught up. It's like a black hole for independent wrestling.
Yes.
So go on, Independent Wrestling TV, promo code Ovaltine, and make sure. What are you going to? You going to eat a bunch of turkey? You going to take a nap? And what are you going to be? What are you going to be in the mood for? Some fucking professional wrestling.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Ovaltine.
You never know. You might be in the mood. Your head washes pumpkin pie down perfectly. Ovaltine, of course. We're coming to the holiday of Christmas for those who celebrate it. Little Ralphie.
And Hanukkah. Hanukkah's there too.
Hanukkah's there too, but Ralphie, what was that code? That code was Ovaltine.
That's right.
Drink more Ovaltine? Of course. That's exactly what we want you to do. Drink more Ovaltine. Watch professional wrestling. Subscribe to Independent Wrestling TV. No, we're not making any money off of this, so the words I say are only true. True.
All right, so we hope you enjoyed this episode, and maybe we have another interview coming up.
Why don't you just tell me the interview we have coming up? Never mind, we're going to save it for the special ears out there in listener land. Hey, we've done enough talking. You've heard enough from us. You're probably enjoying some Survivor Series. You've probably enjoyed War Games. You're probably all riled up. You want to listen to some fucking podcasts? Well, we got them for you, baby.
Yeah, so stay tuned for our next episode. Like we said, could be another interview. Subscribe, give us a 5-star rating. Do everything you can to help our show and
support independent podcasts. Just like you support independent wrestling, yeah. Support us, independent podcasts. Out there in listener land, we hope you have a fantastic night. Sweet dreams, you beautiful children, and we'll see you on the next ride.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be talking to you very soon.
Later? Question mark?